Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guy. At 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So, my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, if it's your holiday weekend, if it's beginning right now, welcome to the Memorial Day holiday, and let's get this kind of out of the way, if I can. Hugh, well, let's first off, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. Good morning to everyone that is visiting Atlanta right now that have come, they have come from somewhere else that's hanging out, that's here for the Memorial Day weekend. The one that snuck up on me, I forgot it was the Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Like, I really did.
Stop. Don't fall. No, I have a list of the code words for the day, and I put it in front of me so I don't lose it, and yeah. I was just making sure it didn't fall. Yeah, I get that. No, I'm not going to text it to you. No, that's not going to happen. You'll have to get those as the day unfolds. Well, welcome to Memorial Day weekend, and let me say to all of the veterans, like my grandfather, my uncle, and all of those who served and then paid the ultimate price to all of you. We certainly salute you and thank you for your service and everything you meant for this country, because that's, you know, really the meaning of the holiday. But of course, it's always you know, one of these things, Hugh, which is, you know, it's either, you know, the holiday has a certain deep meaning, obviously, to a lot of people. But it's also a holiday where, you know, a lot of people look at it, you know, is it the beginning of summer?
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's how it's kind of built. First, you know, the beginning of summer, that's when everything kind of gets to rolling. Once you hit Memorial Day, then everything else is kind of downhill after that. 4th of July and all the other stuff that's going on, then football season. It's like, it's not that far away. When you hit Memorial Day, it's like, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it starts to crank up a little bit.
Yeah, and it's a little bit early this year, obviously, for Memorial Day. Because normally Memorial Day closer to the end of the month as opposed to Monday. But it's about as early as a Memorial Day can get. But it's going to feel like it. If you're going to the lake or the pool, you're
going to be a hundo. Degrees.
Is McMichael's little shindig on Sunday, is that outdoors?
Randy, is it? Oh, it's Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Monday. See, I need to get an assistant. Because I was thinking it was Monday.
I think it's Sunday, right? Yeah.
Sunday?
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Okay. Well, yeah.
McMichael's just having a little shindig with us. Thank goodness, because if it were Monday, Hugh, there'd be no drinking.
Oh, yeah, that turnaround.
Yeah.
That turnaround is quick.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense to have it on Sunday so that we had that Monday to recover. It makes a lot of sense.
So we get all of that in Memorial Day. We'll talk about that throughout the program here. A lot going on. Dan Quinn spoke for the first time about Vic Beasley. We have that. We'll bring that to you. That story is going to be part of the show. Matt Ryan spoke for the first time about the offensive line and about other things. We'll bring that to you throughout the show. Braves yesterday finished another series win, Hugh. All right, so you're in charge of keeping track of this. They're 9-5-2. Nine series wins, five series losses, and two splits.
Yeah, and you talk about some drama. Last night was a drama-filled series. I mean, you're thinking that that game was like, what, 5 hours? Like close to 5 hours long?
I think it was 4 hours and 21.
Oh, it was longer than that, John. It was like 4:40 or something crazy.
Really?
Like that. It was, I think so. I'm not mistaken.
It was long.
It was long. It was long. But you're talking about a fight, a struggle, 10-yard fight. And the bullpen came up pretty big. Tukey had me a little nervous, though. Tukey Toussaint had me a little nervous. Wasn't that 10th and 11th inning? And I remember, like in the 10th inning, you know, when he was spreading the ball over the place, I was like, okay, we got out of this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came back out for the 11th, I'm like, damn, Brian, put him back out there. Why did he do that? But we got through that, man, and got the win. Austin Riley came up big for us. That's to me is what makes this team exciting because, you know, if for all the miscues they've had, for all the close games that they've been in and they've lost, the ones that they've gotten let get away, mm-hmm. when you see the youth step up the way that they did yesterday, to me, that gives me hope that this team is going to be much better than people anticipate them to be at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, this Austin Riley is just insane.
Yeah, he's had a nice nine game run so far. So far, he looks pretty good.
You know, right? This will be something interesting. Will he be the player of the week? Will he be the National League player of the week? He's already going to be the rookie of the month. I mean, that's a given. Will he be the player of the week?
Thing? Rookie of the month is
a
thing.
I think so. I think it is in the NBA.
Interesting.
I mean, whatever it is, player. I mean, suddenly, we asked this about the All-Star game is July 9th in Cleveland, right? And so we were asking, if you're Ronald Acuna, because Major League Baseball is going to want Acuna in the home run derby, do they want Austin Riley? Suddenly, are they going, wait a second, can we have that other guy?
I think it's a little bit premature for Austin.
It is.
But I think
But
I think that what he's been able to do, he's been just crushing it. What is it, 6 home runs in 9 games?
Five.
Yeah, I look at me. I'm speaking him one into existence for the night. But, yeah, that's pretty impressive. And looks comfortable. Pitchers haven't figured him out yet. That's when you kind of, you kind of worry about a little bit. Not so much worry about. You just kind of wait to see what's going to happen once they do that and how he adjusts to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a lot of adjustments that he has to go through. But I got to say, I mean, you know, for him to play the way that he played last night and come up big the way that he did, as a Braves fan, you have to be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be excited about what you're seeing from this young team.
Well, he certainly sits dead red right now, which means he's sitting on the fastball. And if he gets a fastball in the zone, he's hit home runs, you know, up in the zone. Down, he hit that one yesterday down in the zone. You're seeing, a steady – what Madison Bumgarner did to him yesterday was throw him nothing but, slider, 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 slider. So, they'll figure out, where's the weak spot in his game, and they'll start, pitching to that. And it may just be mixing more pitches and off speed. But right now he's been so patient at the plate. He's been taking junk and taking a fastball and taking junk. He's just sitting on that fastball waiting for you to throw the fastball. And when you do, he's not missing.
He's making you pay. And like I said, people are going to figure him out. But right now, from what I've seen him flash the glove a little bit, had some clutch plays yesterday, I like what I've seen so far. He's a problem. And I tweeted that out yesterday. He's going to be a problem for opposing pitchers. He's going to be a problem for as far as what you're going to do with Ender and Ciarte.
It's going to be
one of those things.
Absolutely
where,
a problem.
Where, and this is no disrespect to Ender, but you're always looking. You're talking about his bat and what he's been able to do in that lineup. And yesterday, kind of, I'm pretty sure Snit's probably looking at that and thinking, man, if this guy stays on this trajectory, then we might have some decisions that we're going to have to make. That's kind of what it looked like to me yesterday.
Well, I tell you, I think they already have to make that decision, and it may come down to, are we going to keep Ender? Are we going to send – what are we going to do with Matt Joyce? Because you're not – even Charlie Culberson, God love him, had an awful, awful game yesterday. Charlie was just terrible. He was 0-for-6 with 4 strikeouts. I mean, he wasn't any good. But, that's okay. I mean, because that's not what we want out of Charlie. We need Charlie to be a little bit more Charlie Clutch like he was last year.
He came up with a clutch play in the field yesterday.
I understand, but yeah. I mean, just he was 0-for-6 with 4 strikeouts. We just need him to be – we don't need him to be a starter is my point, We need him to be a spot guy. And, of course, he was a spot guy yesterday in right field. I get that.
Oh, he came up with a great play in right field late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
To save the game.
Yeah, no, he did. And so it's a case where I think if you're looking on the bench, I don't think there's a choice. Even though even though Charlie was 0-for-6 yesterday with 4 strikeouts, I don't think the choice is between Ender and Charlie. You're keeping Charlie. It's not between Ender and Camargo. You're obviously keeping Camargo. So the choice might come down to Ender or Matt Joyce. And Matt Joyce has been pretty good for you off the bench. I don't know where Ender fits right now.
Well, I think that you're looking at what is your most attractive piece. Right now, and you would probably have to think that at this point it'd probably be the Gold Glover, probably be Ender, and when he comes back, it's a nice problem to have. Him packaged with some other guys, maybe. Who knows?
Who knows?
But it's a nice problem to have. It's definitely a nice problem to have.
It is the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're celebrating the holiday weekend and talking to you about the Braves. We'll get more into the Braves and hear about the reaction from last night's win in San Francisco in a couple of minutes. Vic Beasley not at OTAs. We're going to get into that and the 7 o'clock hour and talk about that. Don't worry, we're going to get to the Falcons. And then late last night, the Toronto Raptors. Hey, guess what? The Toronto Raptors are now a win away from a showdown against Golden State in the finals.
Yeah, things have changed a little bit. It was amazing. Like a couple of days ago, we were talking about potentially having a sweep in a series with that the Milwaukee-Toronto series. And now Toronto's sitting in the catbird seat. I guess them rubbing them shoulders like Dre did the other day, I guess that kind of paid off for him.
Yeah, Toronto's won 3 in a row in this series.
Relaxed. Yeah, the coach is relaxed now.
You know, so, certainly you could. Now, I read a story the other day, Hugh, that said, oh, my God, if Toronto gets into the NBA Finals, the TV ratings are going to be the worst ever ratings of all time. I mean, already the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals are way, way, way down. But there's a reason that they're way, way, way down. Because the American television ratings, Toronto doesn't count. They're in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, so since Toronto,
so a lot of people in Toronto might be watching it, but they're not on the Nielsen ratings.
Right. They're not on the Nielsen ratings, right? I mean, they're on the Canadian ratings.
But you know what? Though, to be honest, I mean, if I think like the Milwaukee Golden State Warrior matchup to me feels a little bit more intriguing than Toronto and Golden State, and I know that Kawhi is one of the best defenders, if not the best. He is the best defender that's playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too keen on seeing that because I kind of feel like I know how it's going to go. And especially when, you know, you hear reports of Boogie Cousins, potentially he was practicing the other day. He might be ready to go. And if KD's ready to go, that's a bloodbath, I would think.
Well, isn't it already a wrap? I mean, in this sense, the Golden State is sitting around. These two teams are wearing each other out.
And they're resting. Yeah, it's almost a kiss the baby situation. Yes, I would agree with that. But I think the Milwaukee matchup is more intriguing because of the storylines off the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the Aaron Rodgers angle, that would probably bring a little people. That would probably be a little bit of a draw. The Drake thing is cool for Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, that's Canada. I don't think it would be that cool. I mean, no, I'm not hating on Canada. Yeah, that healthcare thing, it looks pretty enticing. But no. No, I just don't feel like that would be between the two, you're picking the one that you would probably be more interested in. I got to say Milwaukee. I got
to
say the Bucks.
Yeah, to me it would be Milwaukee because of Giannis and his matchup potentially against KD. But we'll see. I mean, Toronto Raptors, credit to them. I thought they were dead in the water too, down 2-0 in the series. They had to win one in double overtime at home, and I went, okay, they got their one, and it took them double overtime. Then they scratch out a second. Then they go to Milwaukee last night and beat the Bucks in Milwaukee, and now they head back to Toronto with a chance to take 4 in a row and make it to the NBA Finals. Hey, you can join 92 on the game at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw today from 2 to 7. Dukes of Bell broadcasting live to start your holiday weekend. Again, Kennesaw's location right there on Barrett Parkway of Twin Peaks from 2 to 7 with Dukes and Bell today to start the Memorial Day weekend. Now, what are your expectations for Austin Riley? I mean, the numbers, when you start projecting them out, are just, they're silly. They're pinball numbers. But what are your realistic expectations for Austin Riley? We'll catch up with what the Braves had to say after beating San Francisco next with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
The 0-2 pitch from Maranta is served to right field. It's a base hit. It's down. Here comes Dansby. Riley comes through, and Atlanta leads it 5-4 on an 0-2 pitch. Wow.
You know, I just told myself, you know, not going to be late on the fastball. And, you know, got down 0-2, fouled off a slider, and you know, was able to catch up to 97 and, you know, got the RBI.
Well, the new hot thing, the new hotness is Austin Riley, who, if you crunch the numbers, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on this Memorial Day Friday. If you crunch the numbers out, he is on pace. Now, this is just for fun. Don't be literal. So when I tweeted it out yesterday, don't be literal. But the pace is 90 home runs and somewhere north of 200 RBIs. I said it's just for fun.
No, I didn't open my mouth. I didn't say a word. I did not say a word. So I'm just laughing. I mean, but there is a pattern here.
Uh-huh.
There's a pattern.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Now, I'm just
a going. Pattern that has been established for the last 45 years.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
I will be out over my skis about a lot of the things.
Woo! I love it. I love it. It's exciting to see. And I can't be upset at any Braves fan for feeling the way that you feel this morning. But I would probably temper that enthusiasm with a little bit of reality. 9 games in. We know how this goes. It's almost – this to me is the equivalent of a quarterback playing in the NFL or being seen on the field for the first time. I remember Kevin Cobb comes in with the Philadelphia Eagles when I think it was Donovan McNabb gets hurt. Kevin Cobb has the best 4 games that you could have as a young starter. So much so that I think somewhere in the history books he goes down as having the highest QB rating in the 4 game stretch of a young quarterback, something like that. So much so that he gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals because of the potential that he is. And we all know the story of that. It's to me, it's the same thing. When guys figure you out, that's when you hit that adverse time, that's when you start to figure out who Austin Riley is. Now, right now, cannot complain. He has been, especially last night, clutch. And I was excited to see that for him. And the last couple of nights for the Braves, he's been that guy. But temper that excitement about him with a little bit of grain of salt, because still have to see how he's going to handle those adverse situations. Hasn't had many. Has not had many. Has been really, for him to be up like he's been up and for him to start the way he started, you can't ask for a better start.
Oh, I look, I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah,
I
mean, you go through
a history of guys who had tremendous starts, and
Dansby Swanson was one of those guys.
And you know, to your point about Kevin Cobb, or whether it was the incredible run of Cardale Jones as a quarterback at Ohio State, or if you use baseball, you know, Mark Fidrich or Joe Charbonneau, or you know, Fernando Valenzuela, guys that got off to tremendous starts and flamed up and flamed out, okay, over brief periods of time. But I will say this, because this is kind of the same question we asked about Acuna last year when he was doing his thing as to whether or not he was kind of a flash in the pan. I look at Austin Riley, and I got to tell you, the way he played defense the other day, the way he hits, I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, this guy's going to be around for a long time.
I'm not saying he's not, John, but I'm just saying for you, because I know how you get, and the minute that he hits a little bit of a slump, you're going to be all up in your feels. You're going to be over here crying a little bit. I'm just trying not to set you up. I'm trying to save your feelings. Really, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You and most of the other Braves fans, that's all I'm doing.
Well, when Dale Murphy comes on 92.9 The Game and says he's like a 40 home run guy a year for the next 10 years, I trust Dale Murphy knows what he's looking at.
I trust him too. I mean, and I'm not – listen, anybody that has actually been out there on the pitch or on the mound of baseball or whatever, I cannot argue with that. Only thing I'm saying is everything – it's an ebb and flow to everything. And that's all that I'm saying. Right now, we are in the peaks. We're in the peaks with Austin Riley. What happens when we're in the valley, and how long do we stay in the valley? That's it. That's all I'm saying, is that that's where you find out the true test of anybody is when they get in that valley, how do they handle being in the valley, and what do they do to get out of the valley?
Yeah, Hugh, when you're the voice of reason, you just kind of bring me down a little bit.
I'm sorry,
I want to enjoy that. Let me enjoy my little win. I'm not trying to be that guy. There's a certain producer on another show that does it to me all the time. Hey, I'm going to eat. It's going to suck at some point.
I did not say that. But I know how you get. You will go. You go all in.
Yes.
You go buy Austin Riley jerseys. You're talking about the love fest, and you set yourself up for these lofty expectations, like the 40 home runs, and say if he hits 35, you're disappointed. You're disappointed to the point where you're looking at him and you're seriously considering trading him because he didn't hit 40. That's all I'm saying.
Do I have serious expectations of Trey Young and John Collins and Ronald Acuna? And now Mike Soroka, and now Austin Riley, or Calvin Ridley, or all of these rookie guys.
I will tell you what. To be in Atlanta, Georgia right now, for all the sports teams, and to see all of this young talent that we have amassed, the future looks really bright. So much so that Atlanta United already won one, but you can look around the landscape of sports and say, you know what? We're going to have some opportunities to win some championships here. That whole Atlanta sports curse and all that other stuff, you look at the landscape of sports right now and you feel that with all this young talent amassed, that there's a strong possibility that our Super Bowl or our championship fortunes are going to change. That's great. No question about that. But everything comes with time. Just like the Golden State Warriors. 10 years ago, John Freaking, nobody was talking about the Golden State Warriors. Nobody wanted to go play at Golden State. It took time. It took time for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and those guys to become who they are. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Braves as they take a series from San Francisco, 3-1 tonight. They will be in St. Louis as the Braves a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies in the NL East. The Mets are 4.5 back. Washington, we've noted this yesterday. We wake up this morning, the Washington Nationals are 10 games out of first place. I know it's only 50 games in, but when you're 12 games under 500 and 10 back, 50 games in, you are in a world of hurt already. I know you can say, well, there's 112 games to go. Yeah, but you start looking at those numbers, you're going to have to do something on the order of, you know, play like 78 and 34. I mean, you're going to have to – I mean, that's how it works in order to win a division. It's just math. And the math for the Washington Senators 50 games in is they're – I don't know that they can make a case to figure this out.
The Senators?
Call the Senators?
Hey, John, it's Friday. You're excited about Austin Riley. It's all good. It is all good.
The Washington Senators.
Wait, where are the Expos?
The Expos.
I got that one from Abe, though. You know, Abe knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff.
No, wait. There were two Washington Senators, one of which became the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, here we go.
And the other that became the Texas Rangers. And if you've never seen a movie called Damn Yankees, it's a great old film. It's a great old film. Ray Walston, my favorite Martian, he was in Fast Times at Richmond High. He remember Sean Penn?
Yes.
Mr. Hand? He was Mr. Hand. Okay. Ray Walston played a young man who was a Senators fan, and they could never win, and so he makes a deal with the devil that if the devil makes him the world's greatest baseball player and he could take the Senators to beat the Yankees in the World Series, that he'll sell his soul to the devil. And, of course, the story is he gets to that point, and then he has reservations about selling his soul to the
whatever
devil.
Whatever Lola wants.
You know?
Whatever Lola wants.
That, yeah, but Damn Yankees, it's that. A great old movie.
Like Abe knows stuff. Why did I say that? Whatever Lola wants. Ain't that a song? Whatever Lola wants. Lola gets.
Richard and Dunwoody. Hey, Richard, how good is Austin Riley? What's his upside? What's his ceiling?
So I have to tell you, I'm with you, John, because you kind of hurt my feelings. Chipper Jones is kind of a guy who's been working with Austin Riley. So I gotta be honest. If he hits the valley, look, if Chipper Jones is my hitting coach, I gotta be real. It's not gonna be a very steep valley. And to be quite honest, if we look back at this real quick, his tear that he's been on has not just been 9 days at the MLB level. He's been on this thing for like what, 25 days?
Yeah, like 27 days. 18 home runs in 27 days, right?
Yeah, so like, let's be real. He's legit, dude. And to see how he's performing in the outfield, even in that transitional phase, the guy's just. He's a stud, man. I think you need to give him props where he's got props. And Hugh, come on, man.
See, this is where we have a disconnect. There is nowhere in anything that I said where I was dissing or taking anything away from Austin Riley's performance.
You weren't.
All I'm saying is this. Like, when my partner here, and it sounds like you, nothing's wrong with you being as high on him as you are. I'm not arguing that. That is a great thing. To have young talent come up the way that it has.
Mm-hmm.
But when you set yourself up for those lofty expectations, and if he falls a little bit short, then you're disappointed. All I'm saying is just temper those expectations just a little bit. I'm excited. I am happy that he came in yesterday and did exactly what he did. Because you know what happens when you're a young player and you have that kind of success early? Exactly to your point. When you do hit that valley, you don't stay there long because you know what it feels like to have that kind of success and come in on top. Like some guys, when they come in and they struggle a little bit, they stay in that valley long and it takes them a little while to get out of that. he's coming in and he's doing it the right way. I'm not saying anything negative about him. He's doing a great job. But right. What I'm saying is you got to temper those expectations just a little bit, because John giving him 48 home runs, and if he falls short, then the first thing you know, the conversation is going to be, well, Austin Riley's not what we thought he was. Don't want to have that. Just give him a chance to grow. That's all I'm saying.
Am I ahead of myself when I tweeted this last night about Austin Riley? Should we offer him $100 million and see if he takes
it? There you go. You know what?
And in parentheses, and does he have a best buddy somewhere?
It means a lot. I mean, you know, to do that, especially with some of the Braves that have come through here, you know, Chipper Jones, all those guys, it's just special, and just try to soak it all in.
Austin Riley talking about becoming the first. Here's the stat. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Only the ninth player in Major League Baseball history to hit 5 home runs in his first 9 games, but more importantly to me, Hugh, the first Brave to do it in 111 years.
That is dope. That is dope. And I'm excited for him, man. I'm telling you, when I watched him hit that, you know, hit that home run last night, the last one he hit, I'm sorry, I was excited, because any time a young guy comes up and contributes like that, to your point, it's a shot in the arm for the whole team, mm-hmm. for the whole club. And then when you look at the way that this Braves club is put together right now, you have young guys sprinkled all over the place, that the ceiling for them, the sky's the limit. And that's the exciting thing about it. You know, we talk about the bullpen and how they're the lack of this and everything like that. You have a bunch of young guys that, if you do this the right way and you let them grow together, you're looking at the equivalent of, like, to me, Golden State. You know, as far as having that nucleus of core players that can come in and they come up together.
Well, put it in baseball terms, the Dodgers, the Astros.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm just saying, like, some, you know, for folks could kind of mm-hmm. know the route that I'm going. I mean, same thing. The Hawks, same thing. I think it's important to have a good core of young players that kind of come up together to help you get to that ultimate goal, and that's win a championship. And you got that. That's what I see with the Atlanta Braves right now.
Jordan in Canton is on with John and you. Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
Good morning.
Morning. I was just going to agree with Hugh. It's going to take time, man. You see, it's just – it's
– take your time. Take your time.
It's hard to be an Atlanta sports fan, man.
Take your time.
You want to get your
hope.
You want to get your hopes up. But it's just hard, man. It's just going to take time with the Hawks, with the Braves, you know, with the Falcons. It's just.
Yeah, well, right. But as Hugh said, and appreciated to Jordan and Canton, that.
It sounded like he was crying a little bit, John. You had to give him a moment. It sounded like he was kind of choked up about it a little bit.
Well, I mean, I should ask Jordan how old he is. I mean, I've been doing this, as you said, for 50 years.
I know. And that's why, and listen.
I'm a little jaded, but I'm also very positive. I think the future is bullish. I know what Jordan says, it's going to take time, but I hate to say that I disagree with him. Our time is right now. That's why I put no quarter on Liberty Media and Alex Anthopoulos, you, to strike right now, because it's sitting right in front of you. You tell me this. You tell me that if you don't make a move or two, that you're a move or two away from a World Series title.
But my thing is this, John. You're like, I understand the long-suffering fan of a sports franchise that has not won a championship in forever. You know, I understand that more than anybody else. But I also understand that it takes a right mix of individuals to make that happen. And I think that the Braves right now, just like the Hawks, just like, you know, you talk about Atlanta United, I think the Falcons are there. They're on the right trajectory. Everybody's on the right trajectory. And it takes time to get guys. They got to get seasoned. They got to get that seasoning on. That's what I look at when I see this team, is that they need that seasoning. And, you know, we were talking about when Smoltz was on yesterday, and well, other day, with Andy and Randy. And you're talking about giving guys a chance to grow and develop and go through these different scenarios to help them, you know, learn how to handle certain scenarios. I think that's more important than anything. Just like yesterday, Touki Toussaint, for example. You go out there in the 10th inning, Touki's spraying the ball all over the place, John. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking to myself as a fan, woo, we dodged a bullet because he was all over the place. And then when Brian Snicker stuck him back out there, I'm like, hold up, dog, what are you doing? This guy is clearly having control issues, but you put him back out there. And he worked his way out of that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about right there. With these young guys, you have to let this play out. And I get the whole long-suffering fan thing, but you got to let it play out.
All right, this is how it's going to play out, because I'm going to tell you how it's going to play out. All right? It's going to play out by making a move for a bullpen. And if you saw Madison Bumgarner yesterday, I think that that's something I want to start considering is a Zach Greinke or a Madison Bumgarner. I want to pick up somebody for the remainder of this year, a veteran who can help us in the playoffs. This is how it's going to play out. This team has a World Series winning caliber offense. They have a World Series winning caliber defense. You go out and make a move for a bullpen move for a closer. You make a bullpen move for a starter. You can win the World Series this year.
Okay.
Teddy in Atlanta. Hey, Teddy.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going, Hugh?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Oh, hey, Teddy.
Hey, guys. I kind of agree with you. Remember when Jeremy Lin came in, and the entire world was on fire about Jeremy Lin? That was in the first, 10, 20 games, 15? Then after a while, we just got rid of Jeremy Lin here in Atlanta. He don't hit the 30 and 40 and the 25 and the 28. What Riley is doing is great. But like he say, don't get your hopes up too high. I also remember when Isaiah Thomas, he wanted to kill himself before he won a championship. Michael Jordan played 7 years before he won one. I'll hang up and thank you guys.
Well, I appreciate the fact that it takes – but expand this out. It's not just – look at Ronald Acuna as an example of Austin Riley. Ronald Acuna has – slowed down a little bit from that incredible run he had in the middle of last year. He's still hitting almost 300. He's still one of the best players in baseball. He's still worth every penny of that $100 million and more.
Yeah.
So I don't expect Austin Riley to keep this up. I'm just saying that now that you have Austin Riley, who I can now, I think after nine games, this is my point, after nine games, I can pencil Austin Riley in as a starter for this team for the next decade.
I would not argue that point. I think he is a special, phenomenal player, but they still have to go through growing pains. And just like you said, going out and getting you a quality reliever, a quality closer, who's to say, John Fricke, that Touki Toussaint, when we get into October, could be that guy.
Oh, that'd be great. We'd have two.
He could be that guy. All my point is this. All I'm asking you to do is allow this team to be naturally. Let it come to them naturally. That's all I'm saying. When you start adding different pieces and everything where you really don't have to just yet, then I think you upset the chemistry just a little bit.
Luke Jackson had a good outing yesterday, two innings saved. He looked
great. And I think you got to let him grow. You got to let him develop.
But, you know, if you've got a chance to grab the brass ring, you got to grab it.
Yeah, but we're not in a situation right now or position where we are in dire straits for that right now. I don't think so.
I think you make the right moves at the right time.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, I know we're going to be talking about this throughout the program, but we also have to talk about Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan spoke yesterday for the first time since the draft. And more importantly, Dan Quinn spoke about Vic Beasley. We're going to have to discuss that, too. We'll do that next. And we'll get back into the Braves. Don't worry, we'll be there all day long. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.